Okay, so I want to bring us to some text from Bible who called my attention. I get a title before you go because the verses that we're going to look today, there are two verses before the disciples are sent to the Great Commission. I think you all know like the verse from the Great Commission. Go to all nations, preach the gospel, baptized in the name of the Holy Spirit, the Father, and there he goes. And these two verses, they happen before they get to this point. So I want to take a look with you through these two verses so we can understand a little bit what happened before they go to the Great Commission. Okay? So I think we can open our Bibles and Matthew 28:16. Matthew 28:16-20. I'm going to read with you. If you're good, say amen. Oh, okay, thank you. I always wanted to do that. Okay. Matthew 28:16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All the authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of age." So, in verse 16, it says that disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain that Jesus had told them to go. And he told that in verse 7, as soon as he is resurrected, an angel told to one of the women that was going to saw him at the tomb. And I would like to bring with you, like we try to imagine the feelings and what was the feelings of those disciples on that particular Sunday. So they were all like together. I would like to you to like maybe close your eyes and try to imagine this scene. Like there were everyone were like sitting together. Like the disciples were together, like with all the doors shutted and with fear. Some of them like are feeling frustrated, like that was the Messiah that we were waiting for, and how can he be dead? And with some sort of hope, but something like doesn't fit on that scene on that Sunday morning. Like they were like, okay, what do we miss? Like that was supposed to be the Messiah. So what is happening? And I keep imagining like all the disciples there. And then suddenly they hear like a woman like yelling, "Hey, hey, 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 hey!" Like something happened, and it's like just like one of the disciples, "Oh, just come on, let us cry or let us do something." And then the woman came, "Hey, hey, hey! Something happened." And I imagine her like that's not in the Bible, but let's just try to imagine like she came in, like running and trying to say what happened, and they like were like, "Okay, what are you trying to say to us? Like, Jesus is it's alive. Go to the Galilee." Like, changing the words, and yeah, it wasn't like just go to the Galilee. It was like, you know, I keep trying to imagine that. Like, that was a high point. There was that was something big, and then just Peter gets up and run. "I need to see that if that's true." And Peter was so, like, he denied Christ like 3 days before that. So it was on that oh, I need to see if that's true, if there is some chance to me to ask for forgiveness or something like that. So a woman told them to go to the Galilee, and then Peter goes, and then he's coming back, and then suddenly, boom, Jesus is in, with them and say, peace be with you. I keep imagining that like he had a lot of fun doing that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he had a lot of fun doing that. Like, they were all, like, sad and with fear. Can you imagine that, like, just drop, like, Jesus just appeared then and say, peace be with you? Come on. Peace was not they felt at that point. Okay, but then Jesus appeared and go to the Galilee and meet me there. And then he goes out. And what could they do? They could do a lot of things. They could doubt. They could, like, not go. And at some points in our lives, Jesus appears or give us a word and give us a commandment to do and to go to somewhere, and he doesn't give like more instructions about what we must do. He just say do, and just say go, and you need faith to fulfill this commandment. So he say go to the Galilee, and then the disciples could ask like, but why you cannot just tell here, or why you cannot like, and then they like okay, and they go. So the first point that we need to think about what happened before they go to the Great Commission was that they obeyed, even they didn't know exactly what was expecting them on Galilee. Like they knew Jesus, like they've been with him for 3 years. So let's continue to imagine that. Like they're going to Galilee. I don't know how much time they got to get there, and how much time they waited from Jesus, because there is something, it could be days or like weeks maybe. So try to imagine that journey that they has to do to Galilee. All the 11 disciples, like they were walking. I keep imagining Peter. He wants to get like fast, but at the same time, not get so fast because what he has done, because he denied Christ. So he wants to get fast to see Christ again, but at the same time, I keep imagining that conflict. So they obeyed and they sought for God. They were seeking from Jesus. So Jesus is in the Galilee, so I must go to the Galilee. So if Jesus is there, I'll go to that place. And sometimes we have this place that we must go to. Like Jesus is not like stuck in one place. Like it's not just on the Sunday mornings. He has power to be at a lot of places. So we can find Jesus. Like reading the Bible, we can find in another moments also, and with communion, with a lot of things. So they were going there, they obeyed, and they saw, and they went to Galilee. And then when they come, I don't know how much days they waited there, but when Jesus appears to them on Galilee, it goes to the 17, the verse 17. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of those doubted. And yeah, it's easy for me. Like, I used to judge the disciples a lot. Like, come on, you're being with Jesus for 3 years and you didn't get it? Come on. But yeah, like walking a little bit with Christ, I saw that I'm quite of like them. And I stopped to judge a little bit. Yeah, so like they worship him, but some they doubt. And I think maybe sometimes we pass through this in our Christian lives a lot. Like, we trust in God. Like, we really want to trust in God, but sometimes we are worship Him. At the same time, we are doubting that it's really true. Or we are worshiping with our words, but sometimes our heart, it's not there too. So, that happened with them, with those disciples, with those who went to the Great Commission. We are the fruit of what they did 2,000 years ago. And are this ones here, the ones who doubted and the ones who worship at the same time. So I like another story from Bible, who it's in at Mark, that a guy is, wants his child to get healed by God. And then Jesus said, "Do you believe?" And he said, "Yes, I do." And then overcome my unbelief. And I keep like, what? That's not make much sense. But like, when we know like our heart, we can ask God to fulfill our faults. You know, that makes sense. Okay, thank you. Just checking. So he say that I believe and overcome my belief. So they were worship, but some of them were doubting, and this shows how inconsistent is the human heart. We keep going to flesh and spirit and all those things fighting each other. We struggle with the things that, like as Paul said, the things that I want to do, I can't. It seems like I can't do, and the things that I don't want to do, this one is so easily to do. So the human heart is so inconsistent. Inconsistent. Then how could an inconsistent heart? Oh, that's the question. Can an inconsistent heart do something really meaningful or something that will remain? Because if in one day I'm like, oh, Jesus is the best, and on and on, and the other day I fell and sinned again, how could these guys here do something so big that we are all here today to tell this story? How? It doesn't make sense if we only trust in human conditions or in natural stuff. We need to trust in something else. And that comes a detail that I most like on this particular text from Bible that I never never realized before. But I really would like you to get with me on that. It's on the beginning of verse 18. So there were there all the disciples, the inconsistent disciples, and Jesus knew that some of them were worshiping him and some of them were doubting. And some of them were feeling a lot of different stuff also. And then comes a beautiful part here. Jesus came to them. So they take this step, this faith step, to go to the Jesus, to go to Jesus and try to, like, seeking him and, like, I need you, like, all of that stuff. But even though they are coming, they are doubting at some point, then comes the beautiful part of this. Jesus came to them, even though what we are thinking, feeling. So Jesus loved them even though they are doubting in their hearts. And with this love, they get what they need to keep going. They get what they need to keep to this great commission. And he came to them and said, all the authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Something that I really enjoy about this is like all the authority is under Jesus. So all my doubtness, all my sin is under his authority. So all my faults are under his blood on that cross. So even though I'm not a good or a great disciple as I would like to be, even though my sins and my faults are under his cross and is under his authority, because all the authority, it belongs to him. So I can trust in that to keep going. Did you get it? Yeah, okay, thank you. And then, and only then, when that's the main point of it. When we are under his authority, then we can go. Then we can share Jesus to the others, because we are not sharing ourselves. We are sharing something that God did of us. No, sorry, did for us. And our sins and our faults are under His authority. And when we go, it's not us that are going. It's Jesus inside us and His authority who is going with us. And then I heard in another preaching, a guy who was telling about the translation about to therefore go. So he was saying like, it looks like more and as you are going, or as you go, you make disciples, you baptize them, and you teach them to obey. So when you're living your life, when you're living your life, let God be part of it, you know. When you are at a job, when you are with your children, who says in Deuteronomy, when you're walking on the path, when you're sitting with them on house, when you're having a meal, when you're having coffee on Starbucks. I don't know. When you're doing that, make disciples, baptize them, and teach them to obey all those things that I told you. Teach them that their faults are not enough. Higher, they are not higher than the cross of Jesus Christ. Teach them that. Teach them they don't need to get stuck or be enslaved by the things on the world or be enslaved by the law. They can be free in Jesus Christ. When as you go, as you live your life, do that. And go to all nations. And all nations, we used to think, like, I like what you said about the like, we are just helping you out here. Like, you are the missionaries from USA. We are the missionaries in our own South Brazil. We are doing some things there. And it's good that we can like, share this task that God put to us. And we can help you out. And you can help us out, too. That's something that only God can do. Yeah. But, oh, I got lost. Sorry, I will get back. Wait a second. Oh, you. No, I get lost, really lost. Okay. Teach them to obey. Yeah, okay. I will keep going. So all the authority has, let's like bring all together now. We take a step to go, and then we take a step to go with faith, even that our faith is not good enough for God, and God came, thank you, and God comes to us, and He teach us, and He loved us, even though that we doesn't have all that like we need to like. To fulfill our sin and our faults, and He, even though He loves us, and then He sent us. It's beautiful what happened with Peter. That God asked him, like, Peter, do you love me? And he say, yes, I love you, but not too much. Yeah, Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Peter, do you love me? And he say, yeah, God, you know, I only love you. Enough. And Jesus could say, okay, so you're not good enough. I'm not sending you on this mission. I'm not sending you to take care of my sheep. Thank you. I'm not sending you to take care of my sheep. But what Jesus did, He sent Peter even though, because the authority was not Peter's authority, was God fulfilling him to do this mission. We're Brazilians, we are like, we are just disciples of Jesus Christ. We doesn't have authority to be here. But Jesus are giving us authority to preach to those kids. It's in His authority that we are trying to do that. And it must be in His authority that we live our lives. And the great part of this is that it doesn't end up there. The second part of 20, the verse 20, say, and then surely I am with you sometimes to the very end of the age. No, it's not. And certainly I am with you always. Always. To the very end of the age. So his authority is not just for one day. His love is not just for one day. He will be with us all days. The good ones and the bad ones. The highs and the lows. He will be with us all days of our lives until the end. And how good will be to get on heaven and could, like, I imagine like a child like giving something to God, like, look God, what I have done. It's like a child when he draws a design. Yeah, a draw. Like, we know that it's not so good like a Picasso or Leonardo da Vinci. But the father gets really happy with that, you know? Because, oh, the capacity that came from me to this child to draw, it's coming back. So I think that when we get in heaven, we're going to, like, with a pile of draws and give to God, look, Father, what I have done. Yeah, but I think he will rejoice with that. And that's a little bit about love. And may that love stay in our hearts during this week and during our lives. Amen? Amen? Also, let's pray then, please. God, thank you that we can all be here. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you don't need the best disciples of ever to do your work. Thank you that you love us, even though we are not the best ones that you could have. Help us to be humble and to do your will in this world, Lord, and not only our will, Lord. Help us to be like you, to love like you did. And thank you that you are with us. Thank you that you love us. Please show us your love and fulfill our hearts with your love. So then we can overflow this love wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen.